wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray you bless us now as we look at this again here for the third week. And Lord, we pray that you'd guide our steps and help us to understand it and to grow thereby in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we talked again about last week, we kind of got stopped on fiery darts, how Satan will affect your mind and how he can throw those fiery darts, and you have to have the shield of faith up because Satan will throw those fiery darts at you and he will affect you. It'll affect your mind and your heart. It'll have an influence and an impact on your thought process and what you do. Why it's important for you to listen. It's important for you to listen to the instructions of the Word of God. It's important for you to follow what God's Word says and be very careful with that. Satan has been rightly called a ruler of the darkness of this world. And he was Lucifer, the anointed cherub, until pride entered and he led an angelic rebellion against God. We see that in Isaiah chapter 14. All right, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 14, very famous verses about Satan. In verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. With Satan and Ezekiel chapter 28. You turn there. Again, we'll see another reference there in verse 12 to 15. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Not the prince, but the king. I believe the prince of Tyrus is the Antichrist. The king of Tyrus is Satan. I believe that. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Who was in Eden? Well, the only three that we know of, right, besides God Almighty. But we know that Lucifer was there in the garden of God, wasn't he? And then Adam and Eve were there. So we understand that. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. If you go back and listen to that Satan, your enemy series I preached a long time ago, I talked about that Satan was the musical instrument in heaven. Lucifer's body, the way it was designed, he was the musical instrument. You understand that? He was that. When you see what, when the Bible talks about how he was made, right? The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. It was pride. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Satan is a trafficker of men. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. See, Lucifer, he was full of pride, and his pride brought him down. And that's what he tempts everyone to have. Young lady, he'll tempt you because of your beauty, your youth and your beauty, and he'll tempt you with it. He'll tempt you to exalt yourself and not to obey God and to be lifted up with pride because of it. He will tempt you to that. To use your beauty to manipulate. Amen. That's how he does it. That's how he did it. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. This is how you know. See, this is why you need Genesis to Revelation. You need to read your Bible, right? Because God tells you right here in Revelation 12, all the way back, who that is. Well, who's that serpent? And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Who's that? Satan. He's the old serpent in the garden. He's that old serpent. Called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is Revelation chapter 12. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the prince of the head of the legions of fallen angels. They operate in the air, referring to the earth and its atmosphere. The power of the air is a fitting designation for the prevailing spirit of the times, whose influence spreads itself like a miasma through the whole atmosphere of the world. The term seems to denote that evil spirits who have some power of influencing us by their temptations have their abode in the atmosphere, or at least haunt it, being invisible like it, yet exercising a real influence on human souls and drawing them in worldly directions and contrary to the will of God. See, every man is drawn away and enticed of his own lust, but Satan knows this. So he does have devils that do tempt you and do work. He has a kingdom that tempts you and that works against you. It's just factual. To tempt you to not follow the will of God. So he takes, see, when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, there is nothing in me. So, I mean, he can't, I don't have a sin nature. Jesus was saying, there's nothing in me. He already tempted me, tried to tempt me, and he lost miserably. I defeated him. And now he's coming back again. The prince of this world is coming back again, but there's nothing in me. I don't have a sin nature. That's what Jesus was saying. There's no spark. See, the devil cannot do anything unless there's a spark in the heart. For you and I, because we are sinners, saved by grace, albeit, but still we have that fallen nature, there's a spark there. Right? So all he has to do is throw some fuel on the fire to help it along. Right? Because there is depravity in man. There is that fall of man. He has that. So he just uses it. This prince of the power of the air, the moral nature of his influence may be inferred from the character ascribed to him in the scriptures. As a sinner from the beginning, as a homicide from the beginning, as an arch liar, the father of the lie. As a renegade who with the angels under him fell from his first estate through pride. As the principal cause of his fatal fall, his name is expressly identified with the sin of Adam, the murder of Abel, and the treachery of Judas. And with a constant opposition to the kingdom of God, he is accuser, tempter, corrupter, and has, in virtue of sin, a certain power even in death. See, Judas was rightly called the son of perdition. The Bible says that Satan, we're going to talk about this, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, that Satan entered into him. Wow. Not talking about a devil entering into him, but the devil. Satan entered into him. Without any perceptible noise or effort, you breathe the air and live thereby, but more noiselessly and without awakening the slightest suspicion of their presence, designing spirits enter into the lost, right? Kindle desire and lead forth thought. The secret evil which is done by them every day is beyond all power of calculation. The spider puts forth from herself a gossamer thread which floats in the air and catches hold of something where she is not. But no sooner does she find the farther end of her thread fastened than she goes forth upon it, strengthening it and making it her highway. That's how Satan deals with temptation. That's how he tempts you. He does the same thing. That's his temptations. The way that he operates, his kingdom. That's the way the devils operate. Always about to tempt you. letting you be in the wrong position or leading you into the wrong position or kind of being a stumbling block in your way. That's why the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Like a roaring lion. He's seeking. He's always stalking about, looking for whom he can devour, looking for you to mess up, looking for you to give him a way in. But the Bible says to give no place to the devil. By the way, I've warned you week after week, if you give placement to discontentment, it'll take you right out of the will of God. If you do that, you will. I think sometimes people think preachers just get up there and preach for the fun of it. Like they're really not, like they're just doing it for the fun of it. Like it's not real medicine that you need. It's not real food that you need. I told you, I've been telling you for 2 or 3 weeks, I've been preaching on this same topic, and I told you the devil's after you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy each and every one of you. He wants you to be discontent with your life. He wants you to be discontent with the will of God. He wants you to get impatient. He wants you to break free from the noose that he sells you on, that's around your neck. Break free from the yoke that you feel as if it is so burdensome. Exactly what he wants you to do. The crafty spider. She thus opens and establishes communication over a gulf, which but for her airy bridge she could not cross. Having suspended her bridge, she lets down pendants and weaves between them an all but invisible gauze in which her prey are to be taken before they suspect their danger. The crafty spider would be still more Satan-like if she should prevail upon the flies to weave the web in which she meant to take them. The prince of the power of the air is master enough of his art to do this. He persuades the souls of men by a projection of their thoughts and desires to weave themselves into connection with himself. And the more logical and conclusive their thought system can be made to appear, so much the stronger is the connecting web between them and his kingdom. By this web he holds them, and over it he travels to poison and destroy them. It would be beyond his power to hold or to poison any single soul unless he first obtained the cooperation of that soul. He is therefore unsparing in the use of flattery. He compliments the human intellect on its system of thought. He persuades strong-minded men that the Christian faith is a weakness, but that their scientific method being based on actual facts is unanswerable. It is honeyed poison. The depth of Satan. He leads men to make a joke of his very existence. And at the same time gives direction to their thoughts and imaginations that they may weave themselves into his power. It's like those fools at the Satanic Temple. Is that what it's called, or is it the Temple of Satan? Is it the Satanic Temple? The ones that fake like they don't worship Satan or whatever? Those guys, right? Say, no, he's just a figurehead, right? We don't really believe. Yeah, well, he's guiding everything you're doing. Right. You're following his will. Look what the Bible says about the will of Satan and what he does. Follow it. Look at it. And you're following it. You're rebelling against the God of the Bible. You hate him and you war against him. Satan don't care what flavor you war against God with, as long as you're just warring against him. So, I mean, he doesn't care what flavor you call it. Which poison you pick, as long as you pick one. Amen. That prince of the power of the air has at his disposal the power of the air so that he can employ this element in his operations on mankind. We know of no reason whatsoever why the power of the devil should be regarded as confined to what we are wont to call spiritual agency so as never to be employed in the production of a physical evil. Why the souls and not the bodies of men should be considered as the objects of his attack. Indeed, for as much as the soul is the nobler part of a man, the more precious and dignified it would be strange if this alone were exposed to his attacks and the body were altogether exempt. Indeed, if it could even be supposed that engaged in attempting the destruction of our immortal part, the devil would care nothing for our mortal, knowing it already doomed to death and therefore not worthy of his malice. Yet When we remember how the mind may be acted on through the body, and how difficult and almost impossible it is to turn the thoughts on solemn and deep inquiries when there is a great suffering of the flesh, you would conclude it probable that the body as well as the soul would be assaulted and harassed by Satan and his angels. This is no philosophical supposition, but rather one which may be abundantly supported by the scriptures. It is certain from the representation of scriptures that Satan has much to do with inflicting diseases upon bodies. He had the power to do it. Look what he did to Job. That woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years when Jesus delivered her. What said Christ to her when the ruler of the synagogue was indignant at her being made straight on the Sabbath day? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this band on the Sabbath day? The disease you observe is expressly referred to through its long continuance, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. He was bound by the devil. Paul talked about a messenger in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. I don't believe in the modern-day deliverance ministries and their garbage. And I don't believe that the Bible doesn't state that every disease somebody has or every sickness is a devil, as what is taught today by charismatics and Greg Locke and Benny Hinn and all these other goofballs, all these other wizards that are out there teaching people. But can Satan afflict a body? Sure he can. God gives him permission to, he can. Why couldn't he? Paul said it happened to him. It happened to you too. We know not again what the thorn in the flesh was which Paul suffered, but the expression makes it probable that it was some acute bodily pain or distemper, and the apostle distinctly refers to it as the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Look at Job. Look at the book of Psalms. When David is describing how God brought a terrible plague on the disobedient Israelites, what does he say? He declares that he sent evil angels among them. We don't know all the answers to all that and why God does what he does or how he does it and why he does it. So we know that Satan does have limitations, but Satan is definitely greatly concerned with bringing on men corporal maladies. And if this be once allowed, we may enter into the meaning of that title, the prince of the power of the air. I think there's a lot of things that go on that we don't understand. But we understand that the prince of the power of the air, he has power to do a lot with this world, in this world. He is called the God of this world and this system, and he rules it and he reigns it. Is he not then to be defined as a prince because of the many legions which obey his commands, and the prince of the power of the air because he can assault the person and property of men through the invisible but tremendous machinery of the atmosphere? We have no idea how God or how and what to what point God allows him to do that. There's things that you and I will never be able to explain. But I can tell you this, that I believe that when the Bible talks about the prince of the power of the air, don't be surprised someday if you don't look up in the sky and see little spaceships running around. Say, well, how's that happening? Now you're getting weird on me. I ain't getting no weirder than Ruckman was when he talked about black in his book, Black is Beautiful. I ain't getting no more weird than what Pastor Hoggard talked about in his series on the same subject. I ain't getting no weirder than what the Bible talks about, chariots that are out there that roam around. Dragons and giants, hybrids, an army of them coming up out of the earth. That's weird. I know. Crazier than any sci-fi movie you ever watched. And more deadly. And Satan is allowed to have dominion in the air. He's allowed to have it. And he has it. So you think all this stuff going on, do you think every single one of these things is fake that they're talking about when they talk about people seeing all these things? No, I don't believe they're fake. I believe they're seeing devils. I believe they're seeing things in the air. I don't believe they're all lying. The Bible says there's going to be signs and lying wonders. Who's going to do it? Satan. Because he's given the power to do that. It's just not comfortable for most people to talk about. They don't want to talk. And that's not something I focus on every day or anything like that. But it's the truth. It's there. God wasn't kidding when he said it. He wasn't joking when he led Paul to talk about it. About the prince of the power of the air. About the chariots that are there. About the crazy things that were flying or that will be flying around and different things that are going on. God wasn't kidding about it. Right? The hybrids that are going to come out of the earth. It's real. Are you afraid of them? Not a bit. I don't think they could even touch me, to be honest with you. I don't think they could even touch me or you if you have the Spirit of God in you. I don't believe they can even touch. We'll just look at that and be like, man, ain't nothing but a devil floating around up there. Right? God's people are just going to look at that and be like, ain't nothing but a devil floating around up there. People are talking about, the U.S. military is hiding aliens. You mean they're hiding devils that have been giving them their technology for like 50 years? Or 100 probably? Well, probably 100, right, brother? You mean that? What's that? Right. Right, exactly. No doubt, right? An abduction, right? And, by the way, the Bible talks about that there's going to be that time of an unveiling that takes place where that kingdom rises. Right? Right? Satan's phony, false kingdom to take over the world. Coming, friend. I mean, these are real things. That's why Paul is warning us. He's writing in the epistles to warn us. He's saying, look, I mean, Satan is the prince of the power. Like, you have an enemy. That shouldn't scare you. It should make you pray. I just think all these people that hate God and everything they're doing out there right now, all they're doing is proving God's word. And I'm just sitting back and saying, well, we've been talking about this forever. It's been in that book. I mean, it's just right there. It's been there. You're not giving us nothing new. Like, science hasn't been like, oh my goodness, now the scientific community, now I'm afraid because I have to believe in your evolutionary theory and all your nonsense. No, God said, this is what they're going to do. But just remember, they're going to do it because they hate me. Oh, okay. So when you see it and it's contrary to this book, you can be like, yeah, that's Antichrist. Because that's the devil's kingdom. Why? Well, because it's contrary to this book. That's why. And everything that wars against this book is Antichrist. All their signs and lying. See, you need to understand that when they're seeing these things out there, when they're talking about that, there's signs and lying. It says signs and lying wonders. Of course they're going to be out there to deceive people. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole reason they're out there. To deceive people. I believe that because God said it. And he said it was coming and they're going to do it. They're going to deceive the masses with it. But Christians are going to be like, just like, hey, do you think it's really going to be hard for them to deceive them? All right, look how easy it was to get people to fall for the tranny nonsense. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm like sitting back and I'm like, really? You people are going to call that thing a boy when it was born a girl, or that thing a girl that was born a boy? Like, really? Really? And you're all just running around calling it that? And you're all acting like that's real? What is that? That's called deception. That's called devils. That's what that's called. That's called being possessed. That's called being bewitched. That's what that is. Because I'm looking around like, that ain't no boy. That ain't nothing near a boy. But look how easy the deception is. And then they're sitting around there and they're expecting you to call them that. And you're a Christian. You're sitting like, I ain't calling that thing that. You're nuts. Like, I'm not doing that. And then they want to pass laws to be like, no, we're going to force you by law to do it. And you're going to pay for the surgery. So you're not only, you have to be a part of the delusion. I just look up and say, y'all got devils. That's what your problem is. You're all possessed. You're bewitched. You tell me Oh, you can go to a park in Owatonna, Minnesota, and you can walk up to there, and there are people blocking you, right, from preaching and from getting right up into that area right there, so they can block you out so little kids can watch a dude in a bikini twerking in front of them. And then you're the enemy, and you're the bad one. Those people are still mad at us. They're still mad at us. And I just keep staying on there. I'm just like... Yeah. I just keep typing on there. I just keep telling them, no, you're all nuts. You all got devils. You need to repent. I keep giving them the scripture. I keep telling, don't I? I keep, Garrett, every once in a while, I'll be like, I see him clicking on there, liking something. Like, I'm just like, no, you guys are great. Like, you're not very nice. No, what's not nice is twerking in front of little kids. That ain't nice. It's gross. But look how deceived they are. Why? Devil. The Bible says the devil deceiveth the whole world. So it doesn't matter what the deception is. Pick your poison or not, it'll be picked for you. Whatever the lust of their heart is, that's what Elon Musk is going to give them. He's going to give it to them. The guys are going to give it to them so they can have what they want. So then they're not sober. Right? And they can be controlled. Someday people will be like, you know, people thought it was crazy when we preached about this stuff 8 years ago, 10 years ago when I talked about it. I said, oh, man, it's coming. These people are wicked. It's coming. When I preached that public school queering your kids and all those other things, oh, man, it's coming. Like, come on. People tell you, oh, you just need to preach the gospel. You need to stop preaching on that stuff. You need to do both, and I always do. Amen? I always tell them how they can be saved. They don't die and go to hell under their deception. I always tell them that. In short, if all the forms which Satan enrolls and deceives mankind be unsubstantial, if the ambitious, the voluptuary, and the avarice be all and each pursuing a beckoning shadow, if the whole apparatus by which the world is lulled into slumber or roused to self-destruction be made up of the mere imagery of happiness, can any description be more opposite than that which represents the devil as the lord of that element in which floats the mote, through which glides the specter, out of which can be formed nothing we can grasp, though it may be the vehicle of a thousand deceptions arranged in a beautiful array. A thousand different deceptions. But only one truth. But a thousand deceptions are out there. Millions, but a thousand. Yea, if the devil be empowered thus to employ the fleeting and spacious and transient, is there not an extraordinary appropriateness in the title of the text? He is not most fittingly characterized as the prince of the power of the air. Believers are therefore warned not to give place to the devil in Ephesians 4:27. Well, you better be careful, friend. You and I better be careful. Turn there. It's a short verse. I know, but Paul's going to warn about that again. You know, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and he introduces the character, so to speak, of the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2. He introduces it to us. But he's going to continue to talk about the devil all throughout as our adversary. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Give him no place. If you let Satan have a little bit of, if he gets his hoof in your tent door, whole body will be in there. That's all it takes, friend, for you to get sideways on a few things. You just get wrong about a few things. You get upset about a few things. You get offended about a few things. You get that way about a few things. You can easily be, I'll tell you what, you can be out of the will of God so fast. Be backslidden so quickly. Before you know it, your heart is hardened. You won't listen to the truth. Nobody can teach you anything. Nobody can give you any instructions. You won't listen to anything until it's too late. I've watched it. I've watched men do it. I begged men not to do it. I looked at him and begged him, don't do it. Just look at you and do it anyway. I've told you that story one time, me and Lee going over to that man's house. We begged him, didn't we? Went over there and begged him, don't do it, man. Where he had the hypodermic needle on the floor, we found it later. Remember? We didn't see him for like, he drained his wife's bank account. He drained his bank account. He fornicated and ran off with a woman. We were begging him before he got that far to get right. They won the lottery. They won like $125,000 in the lottery. Huh? Yeah. They won like 125 grand in the lottery. They didn't want to listen. Tried to help them. Begged them to do right. Me and Lee went over there and talked to them. We went over there later and looked on the floor. Man, they got kids in the hypodermic needle that had drugs in it on the floor. House trashed. Beautiful, brand new home. Trashed. Remember that? Over there in Lonsdale, beautiful, brand new home, trashed. Stuff all over the place, everywhere. Bank account drained. The man didn't want to do right. He actually ended up fornicating with his best friend's girlfriend. Then his best friend tried to rape his wife in revenge. I'm not kidding you. And like 3 weeks later, he walked in like this. He was covered head to toe with red blotches because they found him passed out in a ditch. Because he was on methamphetamines, and they found him passed out in a ditch, and he was covered. He said, you can tell everybody to stop praying for me to get right, because I'm a shell of a man now. Then he wrote me a letter from prison. I never really returned it, because it was kind of a, I didn't really believe he was sincere about anything he was saying. He didn't really ask me to. It was almost like spite that he wrote it. And he blamed his wife for everything. He gave place to the devil. That's not out of an illustration book. That was from the first year of this church. Wife never came back to church either. She's never been back, really. She talked to me every once in a while, would write me, and oh, but that's been 15 years ago. Not walking, not living for the Lord. But see, you know what? He was so lifted up with pride. Here's what happened. The man came, and he was under this ministry, and I was a brand new pastor, and he was under this ministry, and he had some black charismatic female marriage counselor that restored marriages. Yeah. And they restored marriages, and they let this man and his wife, who they just got their marriage kind of, it was still unstable, but back on some stable ground, right? And they were like the poster child for the marriage counseling group. And I was like, this ain't going to be. Like, I already had my nose. And I was like that because of the woman leading him around and doing, I was like, that ain't gonna end well. I was a new pastor, but you can see I don't like that stuff anyway, so I always hated it. But But I looked at it and I was like, oh, this ain't gonna be good. And they're out speaking everywhere, not being humbled and learning and growing and sitting down and shutting their mouth and learning how to walk with God, learning how to grow in the Lord. But instead, they wanted to talk. They wanted, and I mean, it wasn't even 6 months later. Marriage destroyed. Guys in prison, forged checks, the whole night. But you know what? They just couldn't listen to that dumb kid with a Bible in Northfield. They just couldn't do it. He just wasn't smart enough. They just couldn't do it. Way it goes. I've watched it. What does he know? I don't know. I don't know much, but that this book is real and that God called me to preach it. And if you listen to what's preached out of it and you follow it, you'll grow thereby and God will bless you. Just like he blessed me and lifted my life up out of a life of sin and wickedness. And for 21 years, I've been pressing on, brother, pressing on for 21 years. And I've watched them all go like this. Boom, 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 down. That didn't want to submit to the Lord, didn't want to submit to his church, didn't want to submit to his book, and certainly wouldn't submit to any pastoral leadership at all. I've watched it. And it never ends well. It just doesn't. It never has. So we're warned not to give place to the devil. We're warned in James chapter 4, verse number 7, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're warned of that. As we were led to glorify the grace which originally translated us out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we are to take heed not to charge our faults upon the devil. Careful not to do that. And thus make his guidance an apology for our sinfulness. We are quite persuaded that it is not the devil who destroys a man. It must be the man who destroys himself. He is then an enemy to be dreaded and resisted. This prince of the power of the air. But we thank God for the assurance that we are hastening to the crisis when the malignant enemy shall be bound and spoiled of his power to assault us. Henry Melville. Hence it is naturally used to suggest the conception of the evil power that Satan has, as allowed invisibly to encompass and move about this world, yet overruled by the power of the true heaven, which it vainly strives to overcloud and hide from earth. In Ephesians 6:12, the powers of evil are described with less precision of imagery as dwelling in heavenly places, the opposition being there only between what is human and superhuman. Yet even there, the darkness of this world is referred to, corresponding to the conception of cloudiness and dimness, always attaching itself to the air. For Satan roams. Boy, he has freedom to go where he wants, to and fro and walking up and down in it, right? He has that authority, that power of the air. He has a kingdom. And this kingdom is set up solely to afflict the saints and solely to drag as many people to hell as he possibly can. Solely to trip you up and to get you out of the will of God. To tempt you. That's why. Why you ought to take heed lest you fall. Why you and I ought to pray against being deceived and pray against the deception that is out there and pray that the Lord would strengthen our hearts and help our hearts to be right and humble and submissive before God. That we would be submissive before God, that we would be submissive to his word. And children, that you would be submissive to your parents. If your heart gets hard and you allow it to get hard, you will walk away from your parents and what they've taught you. Even a short walk away from them will lead to destruction. It can ruin your life and change it forever. It just changed it forever. There are some things, children, that you can't come back from. That they have consequences in this life that will never go away. And that's what we try to keep you from. That's why we preach the way we do. That's why we try to walk the way we walk and talk the way we talk. And that's what, because we want to keep you from the evil. We want to keep you from destroying your lives because your discernment is not good. You have to grow in discernment. You have to grow in understanding, and you can be deceived very easily. So we try to guard you. People say you can't. Well, you can't shelter them too much. Oh, I can shelter as much as I can. That's for sure. Do it as much as I can. Right? That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to expose them. Would you rather, flip that around. How much do you want to expose them to? You've got a real weird understanding, don't they, of things? Of the Christian life? Well, how much are you willing to expose them to? They're going to get exposed to things out in the world anyway. We understand that. But how much do you want them to get exposed to? Ask that same person that. Well, you can't shelter them from everything. I'll do my best to shelter them from as much as I can. I certainly have no desire to awaken things into them that aren't supposed to be awake at that time. Right? Temptations will come. Trials will come. Those things will happen either way. But you and I have to be mindful that we have an enemy. You and I have to understand that. Next week, we're going to talk about how Satan works in the air, how he does things, what he is able to do, his capabilities in that, what that means by the prince of the power of the air and what his capabilities are. Knowing and understanding these things from the Word of God will help you to be prepared and to know what to pray for and to pray against. Will help you to know God wants us to pray against things. He wants us to pray against temptation and pray. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You're to pray against those temptations. You're to pray against those things. Prayer is a weapon in your arsenal. Ephesians chapter 6 at the end of that, and we'll close here with this. Ephesians chapter 6, the end of that. Verse number 18, after he lists the armor, he says, praying always. He talks about, in verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We know what the sword is. That's this. Now he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You're to pray. And you're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You're to pray and you're to watch. You're to put a guard on your heart. You're to be sober-minded. You're to watch. You're to pray. And prayer is a weapon. It's a mighty one. It's one of the two weapons that Satan tries to always keep you away from. Tries to hinder in your life. Prayer and your Bible. Because those are the two things that protect you and keep you strong. How you learn the sword and how you learn to fight is through the Word of God. You learn to fight Satan through the Bible, and you learn to pray against him. And this book teaches you how to pray. Teaches you how to pray against Satan and his attacks. Because remember, the whole point of this is put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because you are in a wrestling match. You are every day. You're in a wrestling match. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, what does that mean? You're wrestling against spirits. You're wrestling against the devil. That's who your wrestle is against, Satan's kingdom. That's who the wrestling's with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why he says again, take unto you the whole armor of God. And you got to stand. You have to stand and fight the devil. That's what it means to resist it. It says, remember the order, though. We're going to close. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I preached a series, I think it was called The Wars of James, chapter 4. I don't know if you remember that. That was a long time ago, a while ago. I think they're on there. They're called The Wars of James, chapter 4. And there's a war of submission, right? And there's there's a war of submission. It's jogging your memory, right? there's a war of submission, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot fight the devil unless you're submitted to God. You cannot. You will get ate up. You'll get ate alive. You will get pummeled. That's why you must submit yourself, therefore, to God. You can resist the devil. Submit yourself to the will of God. Some of you want things from God. Don't be impatient. Wait. Wait. Like that on the sidewalk. Wait. 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 Right? Lee pushes it like 80 times. Wait. 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 Some of you young people, you're thinking about marriage. You're thinking about the future. Those are honorable things to think about. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to stop dreaming. You don't have to stop doing that as long as they're pure. Amen. But you don't have to stop doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. You should think about your future. You should think about that and think about a lot. Meditate upon those things. That's not bad. That's a good thing. Wait. Wait on God. What he will give you will be much better than you could ever give yourself and any cheap imitation that Satan offers you. Wait upon the Lord. You'll be blessed. You submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then you can resist the devil. He will flee from you. When you stand, he'll go. You give in and don't surrender to God and submit to God. You'll get ate up. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for eternal life in Jesus' name. We thank you for the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I pray if anybody's here not saved, that they'd come to Christ, who has no life everlasting. They'd repent and put their faith and trust in Christ alone, seeing themselves a lost sinner, crying out to Christ for forgiveness of sins, crying out for Christ to save their souls, believing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I know you'll make them whole as you did us, many of us here, as you did me over 21 years ago. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to continue to follow you and to be faithful to you. Lord, please be with those that are struggling, those with trials, those with tribulations, those with heartaches and pains. Be with those that they're going through a lot right now. Be with Brother Ryan and his work schedule, Lord, and the challenges that he has with that and the intense pressure that's on him for that. And Lord, be with others who are going through similar battles and trials. Some are going through mental and spiritual things and physical things, Lord, and discouragements. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help them to take unto them the whole armor of God. They would pray and seek your face, see that you are faithful. Help us to be faithful men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.